Okay, let's unpack this. If you really want a quick and reliable way to be well informed, you have to understand something. It's not just the data points you see, not just the headlines. It's about the posture you take when you see them. You know, how you consume information, how you reflect on it, and then how you build it into a worldview that actually functions.
Exactly. And our sources today, they tackle this head on with this really insightful developmental framework.
Which is just fascinating.
It is, the source uses this metaphor,
Okay.
seven distinct animal states to show learning as a developmental process.
And not a hierarchy. That's key.
Not a hierarchy of intelligence at all. It's
Okay.
not about being smart or dumb. It's about maturity. It's about capacity. And the core insight for you, the listener, is that your current learning state, it really influences how your beliefs harden
Or how they evolve.
or how they evolve, and maybe more critically, how you respond when you're suddenly faced with complexity or, an opposing viewpoint.
Exactly. So the mission for this deep dive is to guide you through these seven learning states. And we have to say, these are not fixed identities.
Not at all.
You're likely moving between them. I mean, it depends on the subject, on the context. You could be super advanced at work, but maybe you revert to a more surface state when you're scrolling political news.
I'll do it.
The whole progression we're exploring, though, it reflects this evolution from, say, inherited belief and just surface knowledge toward genuine understanding, wisdom, and then finally ethical engagement.
And this applies to everything.
Yeah.
Political polarization, climate literacy, you name it. It gives you a kind of diagnostic tool.
Yeah. So.
Well, instead of just judging what someone believes, you can start to analyze how they got to that belief. You can ask yourself, am I consuming this right now in a rigid way,
Yeah.
a repetitive way, or am I actually being reflective?
A great question. We've got seven to cover, so let's dive in.
Let's do it.
We're going to start with the states that are rooted in rigidity and a reliance on surface knowledge. The source calls them the dogmatic and rote learners.
Right, so the first two fall under that dogmatic label. And they really represent the foundation of rigidity, of inherited belief.
Okay, so let's start with the most basic one, the parrot learner.
The parrot, well, it's pretty much what it sounds like. It doesn't develop original thoughts. Its worldview is purely 100% inherited.
The perfect echo chamber.
The perfect echo chamber. The key thing here is they repeat what they hear, often verbatim. There's no pause to look at the context, the meaning, the evidence.
So it's all volume, no depth.
Zero analytical depth.
Yeah.
And the danger isn't just that lack of depth, it's how resilient it is.
What do you mean?
You challenge a parrot, they don't engage with your evidence. They just switch to a different, maybe more passionately delivered version of the same script.
This
And
script that wasn't even theirs to begin with.
never was. Which brings us to the second dogmatic state, the turtle learner.
Okay.
Now, the turtle is different. It actually does form its own narrow worldview. But, and this is the key, it builds that worldview from a single, isolated point of view, a deeply held assumption.
So it's like building a whole house on one single post.
A perfect analogy.
Yeah.
They construct this really simple, tight cause and effect understanding that only recognizes data that fits neatly inside the shell they've built.
And I think I know the answer to this, but what happens when a new piece of information comes along that, you know, contradicts the shell?
The turtle retreats, pulls its head in, completely withdraws from the conversation. And this makes them so susceptible to prejudice, to dogma. You see it in political rhetoric, religious fundamentalism, certain news narratives. They just refuse to process anything that threatens their certainty.
So the mechanism is fear.
It's fear of uncertainty, and that fear just overrides any curiosity they might have had.
That makes a lot of sense. The parrot repeats because it hasn't thought. The turtle retreats because it's afraid to think. That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so let's move out of that rigidity and into accumulation, which is the problem for the rote learners. And here's where it gets, I think, really interesting.
Because these people are often really busy, they're actively seeking knowledge, but they lack that discipline depth.
And we begin with the frog learner. The frog hops across the surface of the pond, jumps from lily pad to lily pad,
Like scrolling through headlines.
exactly like scrolling social media. They're very good at accumulating surface-level knowledge across many, many different subjects.
But they never dive in. They never go beneath the surface. So their worldview gets shaped by the, I guess, the sheer volume of headlines and short-form content.
Right. You could ask them about the supply chain crisis, and they can name five different factors they saw on five different posts.
But they can't connect the dots.
They can't connect the dots into a cohesive structural understanding, and their vulnerability, therefore, is massive.
Misinformation?
Misinformation and disinformation. Because they have the breadth of information, but absolutely none of the depth you need to critically analyze the source, the context, the bias.
So they're information rich, but context poor. They have this illusion of expertise.
That's it, perfectly. The illusion of expertise.
Okay, so if the frog is breadth without depth, how does the dog learner fit into this row category? I mean, a dog seems curious, exploratory. That sounds pretty adaptive.
It is adaptive, but the difference is motivation. The dog's learning is almost entirely functional and goal-oriented.
Meaning
they only learn what they need to learn to get a specific, immediate, practical outcome. To pass a test, fix something, win an argument. The learning is tied to a purpose, and it stops there.
Ah, that's a fascinating distinction. The ultimate utilitarian learner.
Precisely. And their worldview, this is really interesting, it's shaped by emotional cues. Especially empathy and relationships.
So they're attuned to people.
Highly attuned to core emotional states. They learn best when the information serves a direct relational goal or, you know, solves a problem for someone they care about. They're loyal, they're adaptive, but the learning stops when the goal is met.
Which prevents that sustained intellectual effort you need for real understanding. So if those first four states are all defined by either rigidity or just surface accumulation, the next phase has to be about depth.
That's the pivot. Now we move into the states that are characterized by discipline, depth, and introspection. This is the big cognitive shift, moving away from just gathering info toward actually processing and understanding it.
Let's dive into the understanding state then with the fish learner.
Okay, so the fish learner has a truly deep understanding, but within a specific discipline or domain. They live and breathe their topic. They're the specialists.
The experts.
The experts, the scientists, the specialized historians, master engineers. And that depth, it opens up a worldview that others, you know, without that knowledge, can't even see. They rely heavily on science, on peer review, on formal knowledge systems.
That sounds like the ideal learner, honestly. So what's the limitation? Where's the catch?
The metaphor actually highlights the problem perfectly. They are limited by the banks of the river.
Confined to their domain.
Exactly. They are masters within their area, but they can really struggle when you ask them to integrate their deep knowledge with other systems of thought.
Like philosophy or ethics.
Or economics or art. Their specialization can, ironically, isolate them from the bigger, messier reality of just civic life.
And that distinction, that tension between deep expertise and broad wisdom, that leads us right to the owl learner.
Straight to it. The owl represents this shift from deep knowing to the act of introspection.
So if the fish defines itself by what it knows.
The owl defines itself by what it still seeks, yes. Owls are still an introspective in the light of knowledge, but they become really active in the dark of uncertainty.
I like that. So they start with questions.
They begin with fundamental questions, especially who and why, not just what and how. They're focused on personal growth, on cultivating what the source calls a 360-degree perspective.
So they're moving past the fish's riverbanks.
Way past. They embrace complexity through genuine introspection. And honestly, they're more interested in what they don't know than what they do know.
The key mechanism here, then, is it about holding two ideas at once?
It's the ability to hold conflicting ideas simultaneously without feeling that frantic need to resolve the tension right away. They see their own lives and the world as a kind of constant mystery worth exploring.
Which makes them much more resistant to those simple, easy answers, even the highly informed ones. They want metacognition, not just knowledge.
That's the goal.
And that introspection, well, it sets the stage for the final and maybe the most crucial stage of this whole framework, the transformative state.
Which is defined by ethical engagement, or what the source calls alterity.
Right. And this is where the framework makes its biggest leap, I think. It shows that intellectual maturity needs more than just internal reflection.
It requires external action. It requires lived experience. And for this, we look at the caterpillar and the butterfly.
So walk us through this transformation. The caterpillar learner starts with a small, focused worldview. It just consumes leaves all day.
Right. And in the metaphor, those leaves are sources of nourishment. They're books, articles, research papers, data. They are accumulating information.
But just eating more leaves isn't enough to change.
It is insufficient to change the fundamental structure of their belief system. Which brings us to the crucial step. The chrysalis.
The chrysalis.
They enter it, and the source makes it really, really clear on this point. Lived experience is the essential mechanism of transformation. It's not just reading more. It's going through a fundamental restructuring of belief.
And that often involves discomfort, confusion.
The dissolution of old certainties, yes. Think of it like intellectual metabolism. You can read everything there is to know about another culture, but until you live in it, struggle with the language, and have to depend on the kindness of strangers.
That knowledge just stays abstract.
It's abstract. The chrysalis is that period of vulnerability and integration.
And what emerges is the butterfly learner. The transformation is total.
It is. Butterflies migrate thousands of miles.
Yeah.
Their very survival depends on planetary health. They're no longer focused on just consuming for themselves.
Their whole perspective has shifted.
Completely. They emerge, exploring cultures, respecting difference, developing this profound appreciation for interdependence, for the natural world. Their worldview is now shaped by ethical engagement with otherness.
They don't just know about the world, they feel their connection to it.
And that feeling drives responsible action.
This whole system, it just gives us such a useful vocabulary for understanding growth, especially in the world we live in today.
It really does. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We can kind of summarize the whole framework by looking at the quality of the thinking.
Okay, let's do a quick recap.
So if you look at the progression, dogma, that's rigidity and inherited belief.
Then rote is accumulation, but without any depth.
Understanding reflects that disciplined deep dive, but within one domain.
Right. And wisdom is about introspection, that 360-degree perspective.
And finally, alterity. That's ethical engagement with difference, with otherness.
And the real value of this metaphor, I think, is that it emphasizes that growth is always possible, but it doesn't demand that we all think the same.
No.
The goal isn't about becoming right. It's about expanding your capacity to see, to reflect, and to, you know, relate responsibly in an increasingly complex world.
It lets you check your own mental posture in the moment. You can ask, am I engaging in this climate debate right now like a parrot, just repeating talking points?
Or am I trying to be the owl, you know, striving for that wider perspective that lets me admit I don't know everything?
Exactly. And this is so relevant when we talk about everything from political polarization to just strengthening basic civic reasoning.
And you can be different states in different parts of your life. You might be a fish in your job with deep expertise, but a frog, when you're reading about history, just hopping between quick summaries, recognizing where you are and that you can move. That's the first step.
It is. We learned that for the caterpillar, books are like leaves. They are nourishment.
But it's that lived experience, which is often uncomfortable, often challenging.
Yeah.
That's the chrysalis. That's the mechanism for real transformation.
That's right.
So we'd encourage you to consider this. If the butterfly represents that genuine ethical engagement with complexity and difference, what specific necessary challenge or new experience, what current chrysalis are you willing to enter right now to transform your own capacity to engage responsibly with the world?